Good afternoon, Elise. How are you?
Jason, I'm so good. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, I'm super excited for you to be on with me as well. So we have a lot to talk about. So let's get right into it. So Elise, love if you could introduce yourself to the audience, who you are, where you are in the world, and anything else you'd like to share to kick us off.
Yeah, sure thing. So my name is Elise Archer. I am a founding team member of a company called Brand Builders Group. We are a personal brand strategy firm. We work with some celebrity personal brands, and we work with a lot of personal brands that are just starting out and looking to get a message out into the world and figure out a way to build a business around it too. And yeah, I would say that's high level. There's a lot more I can talk about, but that's high level who I am and what I'm all about in the world.
Yeah, well, we also have 50 minutes here, so we'll definitely talk more about this stuff. So thanks for sharing that. And where are you located right now?
Currently Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia. Which will probably not be a forever thing. My husband and I sold about half of everything we owned a couple of years ago, and we're in North Carolina, and we thought, you know, it would be a really good growing opportunity to have to start over somewhere new. We had strong roots in North Carolina, and that's where I was born and raised. Whole family was there. So we sold everything and picked up and moved to somewhere where we knew my mom. She's down here, but she was really the only person we knew. So we've been here about 2.5 years, and it has been a growth experience. I can say that. It's good. We're liking it, but I think eventually we'll be picking up and moving somewhere else. Not sure where that is yet, but Atlanta for now.
New York City by any chance?
No. Sorry, I can't handle the cold. I mean, you're asking me this in February. If you ask
it's cold
the fall
here
or the spring, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually recording this episode on Valentine's Day, and it's like 30 degrees, but when I walked outside, I'm like, the wind, it's really cold today out here.
Yeah.
It's like, you would not like it at all.
I can't do it. I'm a little bit of a wuss in the cold.
Yeah. And also, you probably get a lot less for your money here in New York City than you would get in North Carolina or Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh my gosh. Sure. I know. Yeah. I was out there a couple months ago, and I mean, it's even just like, you know, an Uber or food or anything it's so different from where it is down here.
Yes.
So yeah, yes. Different world.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I always like to start the show with, talk about how Elise and I know each other. So we met through Jonathan Mahan at BombBomb, actually. BombBomb is a super cool video platform that you can create fun little videos or longer videos and send them to people via email, LinkedIn, all sorts of social channels. And I had connected with him, and then he had recommended that you and I connect because I was really at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. We started talking about doing some branding stuff. So that's how Elise and I know each other. And we've kept in touch ever since as friends and potential colleagues and all that good stuff. And just want to give a shout out to Elise, and we'll talk about this at the end of the show, but if you're interested in how to really show up powerfully as your authentic self and your brand, like, your video content is killer. Like, you're probably the best I've seen around LinkedIn. It's very authentic. It's very fun. And you always have a lot to share. So sure, we'll talk about that as well. But I want to give you that shout out here right at the top of the episode.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. So first impressions of each other. This was an inspiration for one of my first guests. It's a weird and fun way to do an icebreaker, kind of. And because it's my show, I always make my guests go first. So Elise, what was your first impression of me? And by the way, we have not had a chance to meet in person quite yet, but we have spent some time on some Zoom meetings and such. And on the phone. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, for me, the words New York show up when I, and in a good way. It was like, I was like, this man is doing the hustle. No, it was good. I think you were in a co-working space. There was like all this stuff going on around you. You'd gotten like a little phone booth meeting area in the co-working space so we could meet. And I liked your style because I've always felt like I relate to Northerners more than I relate to Southerners, where it's like, we got straight to the point. We were talking, you know, we didn't waste time. We got right into it. I was like, thank God I could finally talk to some. Well, all due respect and love to my Southerners. I am one. But I've always felt like I was maybe like a Northerner, a little bit out of place in the South. So yeah. And I think other thing that struck me was how the intention that you put into building your coaching practice, because I think at the time you were finishing up, or you had just finished up your certification, which a lot of coaches don't make the effort to do. You know, it's like anyone can call themselves a coach these days, but
yes, they can.
which I know you probably have lots of thoughts on.
Yes, I do. But it's you're the guest today, not me. So
I'll have to have you on my show to talk about that at some point.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just like the level you'd invested into yourself, into getting your certification, growing your business. Like you were on it. And I was impressed with that. So New York in all the good ways, all the right ways.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but that's such a compliment because I'm from Minnesota originally, which is very similar to the South in terms of spent a lot of time talking about snowmobiling and skiing and the Minnesota Vikings and families. And then you finally get to it. So that is a huge compliment to me. Not that I don't love Minnesota, but I consider myself like, let's talk brass tacks. And then I'm more like, and then at the end, we'll save time for talking about that. So that's a compliment. I'm very flattered.
Love it. Yeah. I genuinely thought you were from New York. So you've done a good job assimilating.
Yeah. So my first impression of you was similar in that you know, as a fellow coach, and I think you do a little bit different coaching than I do, but you work with a lot of coaches on their brand. You're more of like branding coach, but I know you work with a coach. You work with a lot of kind of people are similar to what I do is like, you knew how to speak to me in a way that resonated right away because it was like, when we talked, it was very clear that you understood without knowing me at all or really understanding my niche, you kind of already knew how to speak to me, which I think says volumes for, I don't know if it's preparation or just like experience in the space. Like, regardless of whether you're a coach, a consultant, you want to become an actual like speaker, you want to become a celebrity, an author, like you knew how to speak to somebody who's like, hey, I want to create a brand for myself because I think that's important to my business. And then a few months ago, you actually did something for me, which I won't go into, that just spoke volumes about your integrity and how you like to run your business. You probably know what I'm referring to, that just as I'm like, this is a person who is authentic and pure integrity. And like, I guess that wasn't my first impression, but that was my impression afterwards. And in between, like I mentioned, the impression you give off on video when you're doing your coaching on video, you're doing the masterminds, or you're just being visible on LinkedIn, how spending time with you in person, like we're doing today. And Elise and I are looking at each other on Zoom. You show up the same way as you do on there. And I know from the space, my mini like thing that you just asked about, like there's so much inauthenticity of like people that are like, you know, it's like the influencer, like, oh, this person's doing this thing and they're on vacation. Then there's no way your life is that good all the time. So I just think you show up authentically. So that's maybe not a first impression, but that's my impression of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I like this exercise. I'm a words of affirmation person. So this is like, I can die happy now. I'm good.
Yeah. I'll have to talk to you offline about one of the practices I learned in my coaching program about acknowledging your clients. You would be like, give me more. My wife is a words of affirmation person. I am not. Yeah. I'm a quality time person. So being on a podcast with cool people is kind of my jam. Like I'm feeling the love for my guests. So, got a lot to talk about in the next 45 minutes or so. So let's get into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah. So Elise, first question for you, what is something that you nerd out about?
Yeah. You know, there's so many things. And I would say recently I have been nerding out a lot about learning about masculine and feminine energy, which is something I never thought I would really study or be into, because so much of my life, like 20s and corporate and even going into like starting my own business, what I've learned is that everything I did was very much it from like my masculine energy, because that was really the way I learned to be and to show up in the world. And so for anyone who's not familiar, it's like we each have masculine and feminine energy. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, born a man or a woman, we each have these different dynamics at play. In general, the masculine energy is more structured, it's giving, it's hard driving, it's linear. And then feminine energy is more, it's about receiving. It's the creative. It's the, sometimes the unreasonable, right? It's the, and so yes. it's interesting, I think. And this is something probably a lot of your listeners can relate to, but especially probably your female listeners can relate to. I think the way that we are taught we can be successful in business is by being entirely in our masculine. And I've been doing a coaching program for about a year now with very, very successful, like multiple seven-figure female coaches. And a lot of what is taught in there is creating from the place of the feminine in addition to the masculine. So really letting the masculine support the feminine. So it's just been really interesting to me to tap into this kind of new side of myself and see what happens with it. And it's been a great learning experience, because I always thought it was very weak to rely on feminine energy, if that makes sense. I think that's a lot of the conditioning, at least in our Western culture. But I've learned that how much power there is in bringing that into your business, and you can create such deeper connection and relationships with people that way. And you have new creative ideas that otherwise you probably wouldn't have thought about or had access to. So that's something I'm having a lot of fun studying right now.
This is almost like a trap. I'm like, okay, let's just do the episode about this topic. This is so, so perfect. And I'll just take like 30 seconds on this. So first of all, you'll talk about this. I know you were in sales. So was I for 19 years. Sales is all about masculine energy. What's the structure? What's the operation? What's the process you use to get things done? And if you don't get things done, you get fired. It's pretty much that simple in sales. Performance. So I'll say that. So I'm not surprised by that. Second, and I think you'll think this is funny. So I consider myself very masculine. And I've shared this in the show. I have a wife and we have a 4-year-old daughter who's very girly. Mm-hmm. My coaching program was 15 women and 3 guys. Wow. I'm staying in the coaching program to facilitate the program. It's 10 women and me. And then icing on the cake, I literally went to a coaching meeting this morning for the International Coaching Federation. That's called the Coach Cafe here in New York City. It was 9 women and me. So I am surrounded by women. And so that's all by design, because like I am very much in process. I'm working on my feminine energy, because what I'm finding through a lot of things I'm working on is like my creativity is awesome. And I've always been like, no, I'm such a good doer. Like I'm so good at doing all this stuff, but like actually just getting creative and ideating. And one of the things we talk about in my coaching program that is a huge challenge for me is to declare from possibility, not from probability, which to me is a very masculine versus like, oh, is like, could God or the universe or whatever you believe, or my spirit or my heart take care of this thing for me, versus like, what's the process I'm going to use to like get this done? What's the tactics I'm going to do? So yes. Man, we could talk for the rest of the time, but we're not going to. We could, but we're not going to.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I love your perspective on that. And yes, we should have another conversation about that at some point. Yes. So there's a lot to be said there.
Yes, yeah. There is. That's cool. That's a really cool answer to that question as well. Mm-hmm. So I know, Elise, I know that you do a lot of speaking, like do keynote speaking and do workshops and such. So you're comfortable speaking. And you also do a lot of like video content. So if I was to be able to give you the opportunity to do a 5-minute speech to the entire world, what would you give your speech on and why?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, it would be something that I've learned a lot the past couple of years, which has really been trusting the process. And it kind of ties into some of what we just talked about, where for the vast majority of my life and my career, the way I've been able to have success is by controlling everything. And so having, you know, rigid goals and tracking everything, and, you know, it's like daily activity tracking, and I'm going to make this happen no matter what. And I think a very forceful energy. And about 2 years ago, I had an experience that taught me that I'm not in control of anything. And it's interesting. I call it like my year of 3 deaths. And so it's going to sound like a downer, but in reality, it has been one of the biggest blessings. And I was a partner in an 8-figure international sales coaching organization, was very successful there, and thought that was going to be the rest of my career. And some things happened internally inside the organization, and very quickly, I was no longer part of it. And I found myself suddenly going from, you know, leading a team, being successful financially, feeling like I had a really strong reputation and brand, to suddenly feeling like a no one, mm-hmm. a nobody, and not knowing where I was going to go next. And then about a month after that, I was co-hosting a podcast at the time called Linking Into Sales, and had these two great co-hosts, Greg and Martin, who were like my older brothers. And Greg, my co-host, passed away in his sleep at age 39.
Oh my God.
And
I'm sorry.
It was just, yeah, it was a father of 5 kids. Like, you know, it was totally unexpected. He'd gone for a run that night, and then he went to bed and he didn't wake up. And those two things, and I'll get to the third in a minute, but those mm-hmm. two things really taught me that we don't know how long we have here. Mm-hmm. And there are opportunities for reinvention all along the way, because the loss of that loss, right, of that career, at the time it felt really hard. It felt really challenging. But what it did was it actually opened me up to the opportunity of what else is possible. And it helped me have time to think about what I want my life to be about. And a lot of that was kind of like in the context of Greg's death. I was 30, 2 at the time. So I thought, okay, if I had 7 years left, you know, what do I want my life to be about? And what do I want my legacy to be? And what do I want to be known for? And that was right around the time that I came together with some of my former partners from the old company, and we formed Brand Builders Group, which has been such a blessing, in the way things have come together. And then about a year ago now, so this is like the third death, about a year ago now, I was pregnant and I lost that pregnancy. And that was, again, and I know like so many people have gone through that. And I didn't realize at the time how many people had gone through that experience. That was probably the hardest thing. That was definitely the hardest thing of everything. But what it did was it taught me at the time, like I didn't trust my body. Because I remember the whole time I was pregnant, I was worried that I was going to lose it. And it was interesting. I'd never realized that I didn't trust my body like that. So what I've learned in this process is to relax a little bit, to take a step back, and to know that there's something much bigger than me, whose hand is at play. And there's a lot of blessings, as strange as it sounds, blessings that have come from all of those experiences. You know, even with the loss of the pregnancy, it's like we really got clear that my husband and I got clear, we want kids. We know we want a family. We're in a house now that can support a family. Like I've built my business now to a point where I can, you know, I can make money and not have to be actively coaching and working with clients. Like at the time I didn't do that. So there's just been, and I've learned to really trust my body and trust myself. And so, I think sometimes things are forcefully ripped away from us when there's like a lesson that we're not learning or that we need to learn. And so I've tried to be more aware and more ready for the lesson so that I don't have to be hit over the head with things. And even when we are, there's good things that come from that if we can be available to them. So that was a long answer, but no, that's been a lot of what I've learned.
Yeah. So is that actually, so first of all, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. And, sorry. And, is that actually a speech that you deliver? Is that something you've written and you actually, have delivered to anybody?
I haven't. I've talked about it a little bit on podcasts, but I have not delivered it as a speech. Maybe I should create something. We shall see.
Maybe you should. We'll see.
Yeah.
So this is
the Talking to Cool People podcast is brought to you by Jason Frizzell Coaching. Jason works with amazing people who are looking to find and develop their passion and purpose and create their journey to wherever it is they want to go. Check us out at jasonfrizzell.com, Facebook, or on Instagram. Jason loves hearing from anyone who thinks it would be cool to connect, to be coached, or to be a guest on our show. Email him at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com or DM him on Facebook and Instagram. And now, back to some more amazing conversation on Talking to Cool People.
Yeah, this is actually a great segue into the part of the show here where I like to give you an opportunity to share your journey, which you've kind of already done so. So just to recap very quickly, you know, you were in sales for a long time. You were actually in sales and then you went to a sales coaching company, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you went to college or not college, and then sales coaching company. Then you kind of shared to what led you to Brand Builders. So to me, there's a couple pieces for me being the host I get to get curious about is like, what were you selling when you first started out and what led you into sales? And then also, I'd love to hear more about Brand Builders and what you guys are up to in that business today.
Sure. Yeah. So I've sold everything. I think for those of us who like to sell, it's weird, right? I'm like, we're so strange. Yeah. Who likes sales? It's strange. But I've sold everything from, in college, for example, I was fortunate in that my parents paid for my college, so I didn't have to work, but I wanted to work. And I actually laughed when I got my college diploma because I had 5 jobs at one time while I was in college, 5 sales jobs, because I liked it. And I never went to class. And I think the only reason I graduated and got a diploma was because they didn't know who I was.
That's amazing.
So I think I like skirted by under the radar. But yeah, I mean, I did promotions for like Pentel pens and gum companies, and I would go to the college, you know, like the football games and promote stuff. I, um, I've sold clothing. I was a personal trainer for a long time, and I sold packages there. And then when I left college and went into corporate, I sold advertising. So small to medium sized businesses, I helped them with their digital advertising. So social media, SEO. This was like in the Wild West when I was selling out in like the middle of nowhere in all these really rural parts of North Carolina, and people didn't know what search engines were. They were still using the yellow pages. So it was a journey. It was, I did that in 2008. You can only imagine.
Oh man. that's pre-Instagram.
It was pre like everything we use today.
That's so funny.
Yeah, awesome. So quite an adventure. It taught me a lot about selling very quickly.
Yeah, I want to just interject one thing here. I sold paper advertising in college. I sold classified advertising for the University of Minnesota School Newspaper.
Love it.
For those of you who are millennials, and I think you're a millennial, what that means is you would open up an actual piece of paper, and there was a section where you would actually look for things you were interested in buying. Or ads, and you'd actually read them, and then they would have like a phone number on it. Like that was literally all it was, and an address, like a restaurant or a bar. So that's what that was. But there was no ads popping onto your phone. This is like a thing that you picked up and had to read.
Yeah. You're blowing people's minds right now.
I'm like, what is this? What is this? This is not a thing that ever existed. Yes, it did.
I love it. Yeah. So the interesting thing that kind of ties in with what I'm doing now is when I was in corporate and selling this digital advertising to small and medium-sized businesses, you know, I was at the time I was doing outbound like cold calling and prospecting, and and it seemed weird to me that I would be working with these businesses that to get them inbound leads by getting them known and building a brand online and through social media. And here I was trying to grow my business, but I was doing this cold calling and outbound prospecting. And so I started like tinkering with the idea of building a personal brand, how long ago was this? 7-8 years ago, I started tinkering with it, and I started hosting like these weekly video web series, and it was like one person would show up, but you know, I got one, and I started putting videos out on YouTube about digital advertising, and you know, how can an attorney market their practice, and I started getting inbound leads and inbound opportunities, and it was like, I couldn't talk to my boss about it because it wasn't the model that we prescribed. Right. You know, in sales organization, it's so structured. You do it this way. You don't deviate from the norm. But then when I decided to leave corporating and go into coaching and go out on my own, I didn't have the coaching experience that you have. So I really commend you on that. Like you've put in the work. Yeah. And what I did know though, was that if I was going to be successful, I had 6 months of savings to my name. I knew I had to make it work because I didn't want to go back to corporate. The only thing I knew to do was how to promote myself. And so I got very good at marketing and branding myself. And I did networking events, built an email list, YouTube. It was like the thing that worked the best above everything else was videos specifically on LinkedIn. And I was able to quickly recoup and surpass my my corporate income by just being visible on video.
Amazing.
And built a business successfully there, so that I tie a lot of that into what I work on with my clients now, just because I've seen how successful it is. It's like, if people don't know about you, they can't do business with you.
Yeah. So, especially in crowded spaces where a coach or a consultant or an IT consultant, like, or an author, like, authors have their titles of their books, but you don't even know what the book's about, or speakers. Mm-hmm. Like if all you know is like I know a lot of speakers and I don't know what they all speak on. And all I know about them is like, oh, I like them. I've had a lot of them on the show. I like them. And I like the way they present themselves online and they seem interesting to me. And I know they have a point of view, but I don't know what they speak on. Just like, I don't know what people coach on. So I think that like, that's such a cool thing. And the fact that you figured it out, like it sounds like in your 20s is amazing. Cause like I had no clue in my 20s that I needed to build any brand for myself. And also the realization, like you're always building a brand, whether you want to or not. It's like, do you want to be intentional about it? Or do you want to suddenly have your brand be something that maybe isn't so great?
Yeah. That's exactly it. And it's like, you're spot on, especially today with how much access people have to look up on you, you know, look stuff up on you and check you in on social media. And if you're not intentional about it, and if you're a business owner or the face of your business, and you don't have a strong presence when people look you up, it's like, you're losing opportunities that you don't even know about. People get this today. So I don't think it's anything new, but the question is, are you doing it or not?
Yeah. So real quick, before we move on here, brand builders. Mm-hmm. So love to hear a little bit more about brand builders and what you guys are up to.
Yeah. So it's been a cool journey. We're coming up on 2 years now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, awesome. I know. It's gone really, really, really fast.
I can imagine. And like, it looks like a really fun business. You guys look like you have a lot of fun.
We do. And here's what I love is for each of our clients, like, yes, they want to grow their businesses. A lot of our clients want to scale to seven figures, multiple seven figures, eight figures and beyond. And we work with a lot of clients who are at that level too. But I think the bigger thing is the common thread is everyone also has a message or a mission that they feel called to fulfill in the world. So it's not just about the money, it's about the impact. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do with our clients is we do something called a brand strategy day, where it's like a intensive and we're sitting in a room together and working on mapping out your brand strategy. And I was with a client last week in Nashville, who's a top producer for a direct sales company. And she has a really just powerful life story and is wanting to expand into speaking and writing, and hearing her heart for what she's doing. The whole time she's like, it's not about me, like, spending this money. I'm happy to spend the money on doing this because it's not my money anyway. My mission is to liberate these women to live their fullest life. And she's like crying because she feels so powerfully about what she's doing. And that's so cool to get to support people awesome. Like that. Like it's the coolest. So, I think the challenge today with building a personal brand is noise, right? It's obscurity. There's so much out there, like you've talked about. And so the key to breaking through the noise is you've got to be really clear on what your message is, how you're different, what your business model is, what your strategy is. And if you're not clear on those things, then you're going to come at it from all different angles and you're going to just continue to be sucked into obscurity. So the first step for each of our clients is getting them really clear on what your brand DNA DNA is, so that they can go out and communicate that powerfully and effectively in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, at the, you know, on the, I usually talk about this at the end, but in the show notes, we'll definitely provide links where people can learn more about you and learn more about brand builders as well, as that's part of your team, but you're not the only person there as well. That's a partnership with some other people, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We've got, and we're close to, I think, 20 people now. It's like, it's grown.
Holy cow. That's amazing. Yeah. 2 years. That's awesome.
It's pretty amazing. And we've got such cool people on staff, like New York Times bestselling authors and world champion keynote speakers and just people who have done it. So who you get to learn from. So it's been a great journey and it's absolutely a team effort.
And yourself as well. You don't have to be humble. You're also on the team too. You're like, we have world-class people like these other people.
I'll take it.
All right. More words of affirmation. I know the five love languages well. It's like, I'm using weaponized words of affirmation. That's so funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. It's dangerous. I tell my husband, I'm like, once you figure out how to work me, it's like, it's all over. I mean, I have but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
It's like, I have the term like weaponized coaching. Like I know you work with coaches, you can weaponize the things you learn as a coach very easily if you want to. It's not a good look, but it can be very persuasive if you want to decide to use
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So this is the part of the show where you get to ask me something.
Mm.
So what do you have for me?
So this is a fun question for me because we're going to go deep if you are available for that.
Oh, I'm available. I'm getting in touch with my feminine vulnerable side. I'm ready. I'm working on it.
Just break it all down.
You're coaching me live on the podcast. I love it.
I mean, I'm just curious with your life experience and going from corporate to running your business and having your family. It's like, what's been your biggest life lesson so far?
I mean, like the answer I'm going to give now is so different than I would have given a couple years ago, kind of like your story. The biggest life lesson, and this is very much, this is very much an in-process thing for me right now. And this is kind of what I told you earlier, is that like, it's actually possible. Mm-hmm. I came from a world, but the way I was raised, and I don't mean by the way I was raised by my parents specifically, just kind of the culture, more like you said, Western culture, the culture. I grew up like pretty humble in Minnesota. My grandparents were all from Kansas. Humble, like great people, but like, and it's not the way they parented me. But I've always had this idea of scarcity. And then you go into sales where you get big quotas and you're like, there's no way I can make that number. Scarcity. And then you go and work in startups where you're like, that's outrageous. Like, there's no way that's possible. Scarcity, 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 scarcity. And like what you said resonated so much with me. I'm like, oh, we could talk for the whole hour about this, is the idea that you need a strategy and tactics to always do all this stuff to get to that thing versus actually trusting. And I mentioned this earlier, we call it declaring from possibility, not probability, that there's like the things you can do. Like, you and I are both good at doing stuff. And then we do stuff. So I'll give you a great example, this podcast. So I knew nothing about podcasting. I listened to a lot of them, but I knew nothing about setting up a podcast. And I figured out all this stuff to get us live here today. But I have a list of people that have said yes to the show, and I don't know how they came. I don't know how I got all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like the possibility part of that. So the biggest lesson that I've learned that I'm in process with, and I, when I'm not feeling empowered, I forget this lesson, is like, there's a lot more to it than just Jason doing a bunch of stuff. This actually happened to me in my business. I had a really good summer. I had a couple of really nice new clients start. And then I think this happens to all entrepreneurs. It was like a ghost town. Like, it felt like nobody was paying attention on social media. I was like, what's going on? Like, I've got these clients that like me, but they're not referring me anybody. And the beginning of this year, I had all of a sudden my business like blew up in a good way in the last month and a half. And a couple of the clients that I've actually attained are purely from possibility and magic, because I had no idea who they were. They came in through a referral for somebody who I talked to one time who didn't hire me, which is like, you know, the salesperson is always like, oh, they don't like you. Like, oh, the story, you know, the stories you create. So for me, it's like learning that, like, hey, like, you're still going to be good at doing this stuff, but there's more to it. And whether you believe that's like, you know, like whether that's God, if you're religious, if you just believe more like a universal intelligence, or just like even like geeky, like Star Wars, like the Force, like whatever it is you believe, it doesn't really matter. There's like, there's something at play. And I'm also, the other lesson that goes along that was like, the energy you put out, you so much get it back. So mm-hmm. I'm at a point now, and I think you'll appreciate this, like, I'm attracting my ideal clients. Yeah. And I wasn't, my clients have always been amazing, but it hasn't felt like a trade of energy. It's been like, I'm needy to get clients because I'm new. And now I'm like, oh, here they come. And like the person I talk, I'm like, oh, you're an ideal client for me. And I'm actually getting to the point now where I get to say no to clients if they're not ideal for me, which, mm-hmm. you know, as a new part-time or a new entrepreneur, you're like, I need every single client. Like,
yeah.
I need every dollar and every client. And I'm like, do I want to work with this person? Like, they're great, but I might refer them to another coach because they might not be perfect for me, because I know that's just going to end up being an energy for me. So I think the biggest lesson, and also now that I'm a parent of a just turned 4-year-old, there's a lot of possibility that happens at that age. And I think Elise and I were catching up on, you know, you have nieces and nephews, like, mm-hmm. it's not all about the doing when you're parenting, because like your kid will be like, no, and then they'll go do their thing. And the best parts of being a parent to me are like the possibility parts where you just kind of let it happen.
Yeah. That's so good. And if I can just add one thought, there's a book I'm reading right now, which has been like game changing, that talks about a lot of what you were just talking about. And regardless of your religious path, I think it's a great book to read, The Power of Favor by Joel Osteen. Mm-hmm. And it really speaks to, I think one of the lines in the book is like, God can do more in an hour than you can do in your lifetime.
Totally.
And it's really like when you're walking the path, when you're in the energy, when you're in the alignment, you're doing, things will happen and shift and move for you amazing. That you never would have dreamed. So cool. And it's a lesson in trust. So that's awesome.
And so I wanted to turn it back to you, because that was vulnerable. That was good. Vulnerable. I'm down for getting vulnerable. Thank you for the really awesome question. I've never shared that on the show. So that's great. This is a question for you around this, because you have the experience of this and I don't. So you work with like multiple 7-figures. Like, when you say celebrities, like, I know who these people are. They're celebrities in like, they're influencers, they're authors, mm-hmm. they're speakers. If we said their names, which you won't, people would know who they are. Do you find, as you grow in your business, that people that the people you work with that actually magnifies, that like the possibility happens more? Or is it like they've come to the realization as well, where it's like partially about the doing, but there's also like a lot of magic possibility. I don't believe in pure luck, but like being at the right mm-hmm. place at the right time. Like you said, your brand's authentic. Like what do you see for the people that you work with that are most successful around that specifically?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think there's definitely commonality in clients who are playing at a certain level, where it's like, you've had to grow so much as a person to be able to get to the point where you're, you know, running a top 50 podcast or, you know, making 100K for a keynote fee. It's like you've had to become a radically different person than who you were in the beginning. And so I think the synchronicities and the things that happen that they just couldn't have predicted. It's like, yeah. And so she's not one of our clients, but I was having fun watching this the other day. Rachel Hollis was, I think she had a week where like she was on Oprah's stage. She was,
here in Brooklyn.
She was talking. Oh yeah. There you go.
I knew somebody who went, she was there at the Oprah 2020 tour here in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah. So she's on Oprah's stage. She meets Michelle Obama, and then The Rock tweeted her, and she was literally she was like, "I'm dead." She's like, "This is it. I don't." And yeah, you can still see. She's like, "What else is there?" But you can see even in her, there's this sense of disbelief that this could actually be happening for her. Yeah. So I think that's the other common thread that I see, regardless of the level of success you're at in your business, is there's like this question of, why would someone listen to me? And you know, how is what I'm doing any different? And so there's this interesting kind of dynamic that I think we all have to learn to balance of trusting that, like, if you have a message, if you're being called to do something, it is for a reason. And we all maybe battle the imposter syndrome a little bit.
Oh,
and
God,
I see
yes.
it in their bigger clients too.
Yeah.
I think it's like the magic is just bigger at that stage.
Yeah. That's super cool. There's two things I just want to put in there real quick before we move on. So one is the thing that I think hits every, and I coach a lot of entrepreneurs around this. The thing that hits all of us is today the day that like everybody's like, "Oh, Elise, your stuff's not good." Or is this the day that every single client calls me up and goes, "You know, I want to work with you for a year. Like I don't, like you're not good at all." Like I think I'll bet you The Rock has days where he's like, "Is today the day where the casting agents stop calling for these, mm-hmm. $40 million paychecks?" So that's mm-hmm. the first thing. And the second thing is the idea as you advance and you're working on yourself, and we call this leader care within the kind of coaching I do, is you also have to take care of yourself at a different level. So if you're working out like once a week and you're speaking for 10K and you want to get to 50K, like you likely need to go, and working out is just an example, but like, are you meditating? Are you doing yoga? Like, if you're spiritual, are you praying? Like the things like you need to advance your care as you advance your career, advance your brand as well, and making sure you're taking care of yourself, because otherwise you just burn out because it's like so much.
Yes. I love that you said that. And it feels counterintuitive, especially if you come from a corporate background of any sort where it's like, you just do. I remember at one point in corporate, I was like, I was getting up at 2 a.m. to try to hit my sales goal. And it was because the only thing I knew how to do was just sleep less. Yeah. Oh, it sucked. It was the worst, but it was the only thing I knew how to do. And I was so unhealthy and so just sick and burnt out. And it's like, you couldn't pay me enough today to do that. But what I've learned is by incorporating what you said, that taking care of yourself, you can get multiples on your results, and it doesn't have to be, it's not so linear, it's not, but the self-care is critical for success. So love that you brought that up.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I got a few more questions for you if you've got a little more time for us.
Absolutely.
All right. So what's the thing that you're most proud of?
I would say, and it's kind of like you said before, the answer probably changes as time goes on. Right now, I think it's how I've reinvented myself over the past 2 years. And, I couldn't have predicted my life would look at all like this 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's been amazing. So I think in terms of reinventing my brand, like when I left my old company, part of the deal was I had to get rid of any social media content I'd created while I was there. So I'd done a video a day for a year with sales tips, and built a strong, it's like it all had to go away. So I've reinvented, and I've created a new brand and created a new podcast, new website, new business, gone out on a limb and joined a very pricey high-end coaching program that's taken me around the world. And I've met so many incredible entrepreneurs, and just other people to be in community with there. I think I'm showing up in my relationship better because that's still a moving target for me. That's still something I have to work on, right?
Me too. My wife will be listening. She will be like, yes.
Yeah, my husband's upstairs. He's like, "I'm glad you still realize that."
He's like, "Finally, she admits it on the air after not telling me that."
I still have some issues with control there that I'm working on releasing and letting go. So that's kind of my journey now. It's a work in progress, but overall, I like who I am today a lot better than the woman I was 2 years ago. And I liked her a lot too, but I'm really proud of who I've become.
Yeah. Congratulations on all that. That's super cool.
Thank you.
And yeah, congratulations on admitting on air that you have some things to work on in your marriage.
You can never air this episode. He can't know.
Weaponized podcasting. I don't remember what your husband's name is, but he'll be like, but you said it was. And you're like, no, I'm perfect. You're like, no, but you said.
You know, the whole like, you can be right or you can be happy. Sometimes I'm like, I want to be right, which is terrible.
You and I are two peas in a pod. That I am so like that.
So stubborn. Well, you're Scorpio, right?
Oh yes, I'm a Scorpio.
We're both Scorpios, so I get it. Done. It's like, yeah, you get it.
Yeah. Do you ever get where people will meet you and they'll be like, "Oh, are you Scorpio?" And you're like, "Yeah." They're like, "That's the only option for you." Like, there anybody who they're like, "You're such a Scorpio."
I know. I was annoyed with that at first, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna own it."
You gotta own it. Two Scorpios, and in salespeople. So
it's a bad combo.
Yes. So Elise, what's something that you're afraid might actually be true about you?
Okay.
Time to get deep.
I know. Get deep in the last 10 minutes. Already, right?
Exactly. Okay.
You know, I think, so Ed Milet talks about he thinks that when we die, we will meet the version of ourselves that we could have been. And his whole life is centered around when he meets that man, feeling like he's looking in the mirror and he's looking at the person that he was sent down to be. And I think
that's heavy.
Yeah, it is. I know. Well, it's a heavy question. Be careful with these questions. I mean, we can talk about dogs or something. I like them too.
Me too.
But yeah, I mean, I think the more you grow and the more you're around people who are playing at a big level, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to butcher the way she says it, but I've heard Julie Solomon of the Influencer Podcast talk about like, you spot it, you got it. So if you see something in someone else that you want or that you recognize, that means there's some of that in you. You know, it's like,
that's cool.
Sports teams play. I have zero, there's no longing in my heart. There's nothing like, I wish I was on that field playing. That is not part of it. But when I see, people on bigger stages or like some of the top podcast hosts or top authors, it's like, there's part of me that's like, I want that.
Yeah.
And so I think the fear of what could be true is that I'm living up to like 1% of my potential. And so for me, a lot of the journey over these past couple of years has been just trying to be open to, what else is possible if I don't control the whole process, and being really receptive to stepping onto bigger stages and doing bigger things and starting to see myself in a light of someone who could do things like that. Yeah. So,
because the reality is you actually can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I like your reaction. You're like, oh, no.
And it's so fun. And I think a lot of people who are kind of in our space, like, we get it, you know, get it because there's this desire to do it. And then there's this like, oh crap. Like, is that really what I've been sent here to do?
So I have a little surprise for you because you don't know this part of the question. The second part of this question, which is a surprise to everybody, is what do you do to compensate for that fear?
I would say my spiritual practice has been the biggest thing. The most important thing to me every morning is getting quiet. And even like this morning, I got up and I felt like my brain was going in a million different directions. And I made the mistake of checking my phone first thing, which I never do. And then I was just like, I was off. So that's not a good move. But as soon as I meditated for just 15 minutes, it was like, I was grounded. I was calm. I was centered. And right now it's a process for me. Like I'm in the process right now of compensating for that fear or figuring out what the answer is. And it's being quiet every day and journaling. And I've also been doing a lot of dream journaling as well, where I try to listen to what are the messages that are coming through in my dreams. Yeah. And also like, you know, putting myself in coaching programs with people who are playing at a level that I definitely see myself playing at, just to, because it's like at a certain point, you got to rise to the level or you got to get out. And I'm not going to let myself get out. So, so there's a couple of things, but it's definitely a work in progress for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to, before we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes, but I want to give you the reverse of something that you talked about. I think you'll find very interesting and amusing, maybe not quite so heavy, but very confronting. The whole, like, if you spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
That's true the other way too. If you're with somebody that's super triggering, it's almost always because you see something in them that you're like, no. So in my coaching program, we had to look around the room and pick a person or the person that was the most triggering for us. And there was 18 of us. And we had to write down on a piece of paper the reasons they were triggering to us. And no, we didn't like play Hunger Games and like tell the people. But we had a list of things. And then the next thing was like, okay, go through the list and see what you identify in yourself for this. And as you go through this, you're like, oh no, like that thing that is so annoying of that person over there. Like, and I love that person, but like this thing they do just bothers me so much. And you're like, oh crap, because it's true about me. Like deep down, it's like, and that's like the thing that you're so afraid is true, that you either compensate and you don't let it out, or you actually do the same thing. And that's why it's so annoying. It's a very, like, I would not recommend that with your spouse. Do not be like, honey, tonight, let's write down the things that we hate about each other, that trigger us about each other.
Well, if you know a good marriage therapist or a good counselor that you can refer people to afterwards, you can set it up as
a revenue stream. I was going to say, I just need to make sure I have like an affiliate agreement with that. I'm like, I'm going to confront people and then I'm going to send them your way. We're going to have like that would be very ethical to have like a therapy coaching, like totally. Revenue stream together. It's amazing. Good business model. This is the sort of things that Elise teaches you to do, is find shady business models.
Creative. It's the feminine. We get creative. Yeah, we get unreasonable.
Awesome. Well,
sorry, I just took that. I took the interview in a bad direction.
No, it's so good. I actually took it there.
Oh my God.
So we're going to wrap up for today in just a few minutes, but I want to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can find you. I have no doubt when people listen to this episode, which there'll be a lot of people listening, where they can find you, how they can connect with you, how they can connect with Brand Builders, and perhaps get a recommendation for a therapist if you can go work on that business model in the next week or so. So where can people find you?
Absolutely. So everywhere on social media, I'm at Elise Archer, and Elise is E-L-Y-S-E. So at Elise Archer, you can go to my website, elisearcher.com. And then for anyone who's listening who is focused on building their personal brand and wants to get some clarity, we've actually put together a free course that they can take that's called First Step to Famous. And it's actually the same process that we take our clients through to help them figure out and get clarity on what their uniqueness is and what their message is. So it's really, really good. And you can get that at ea.brandbuildersgroup.com. So it's ea.brandbuildersgroup.com, and you can get the course. And then I hope people will connect with me on social, because I would love to connect and make everyone better.
Yeah. So two things. I'm going to call it your humility again, just because this is what I do as a coach. I'm reflecting to you. So first thing is, you also have a podcast that you did not mention that's awesome.
True. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yes. Instant Impact with Elise Archer is my podcast. Yes. And I would love for you to listen and subscribe.
Yes. So podcast. And then second thing, I will provide all this information in the show links. So don't feel like you have to be writing down stuff on a piece of paper, jotting notes. It'll all be there in the show links and wherever you get your podcast. And like you said, you now have the offer to connect directly with Elise. So please do. As you can tell, she's an amazing person. Mm-hmm. So last thing, love if you would leave the audience with some words of wisdom. And the words of wisdom have to fit on, for old people, a post-it note, for young people, an Instagram post. And somebody's like, so the Instagram post, like the post or the words underneath it? I'm like, no, the post. It's gotta be like beautiful marketing on Instagram. So what kind of words of wisdom would you like to leave us with?
Yeah. I would say the thing that to me has been really powerful in my life is learning that generosity is a time bender. Ooh, and so if you're looking to get better, faster results in any part of your life, I think generosity is the key to doing that. So whether it's giving more of yourself by actually making yourself visible and building a brand and putting yourself out there, like you're doing with this podcast, Jason, and it's going to draw people in and it's going to speed up your results in your business and in your influence and your impact. Whether it's you know, being generous with yourself, like you were talking about the self-care that's required when you're playing at a higher level, all of these goals that we have that are going to require us to stretch and leap, you can incorporate generosity there as part of your strategy. It's going to happen faster for you. So that is words of wisdom I would love to leave with everyone.
Man, is that, did you create that generosity is time as a time better? Is that your own quote?
It is my own. Yeah. I think it was one of the things that came to me like in a dream one night. This is the power of dream journaling is sometimes you get some good stuff.
You're like, and the last thing is I have a dream journal available on my website.
I'll give you an affiliate link.
Exactly. Affiliate link. No, like that, like seriously, that is a, you got me thinking about that quote. That's super cool. I want to thank you for being on today. It has been an absolute delight to see you and to talk to you and get to share all of your goodness with the audience. And I wish you the best in everything you're doing, what Brand Builders is doing. And I have no doubt that we'll be connecting again very soon.
Thank you, Jason. It's been so much fun. An absolute pleasure.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking to Cool People with Jason Frizzell. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell your friends, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and give us a shout out, or take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. If something from today's episode piqued your interest and you'd like to connect, email us at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com. We love hearing from our listeners because you're cool people too.